Father, we just thank you for the truths we could just sing there, that you alone can rescue and you alone can save. And Father, I just pray that for all of us here that we can testify to that and just say amen. We thank you for your kindness and mercy. We thank you so much that you've given us your word. And so we really ask for the help of your spirit now to understand your truth, to see that your truth endures forever. We're changing all the time. Our world is changing all the time, but you remain the same. Your word remains the same. Help us to hold on to this. Help us to cling on to this. And we just ask that in all this, Father, that we may treasure and glorify you more and more. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're nearly at the end of another year. I was just speaking to my wife this morning. It feels like Christmas was weeks ago. It was only, 4 days ago. It's already feels like it's way in the past. And we're at the end of 2019. And as we see off this year, we can vary along what we think for how our year was as we reflect and we look back. For some of us, this could have been the best year ever. 2019 was wonderful. Others of us could be goodbye and good riddance. 2019 is never one I want to go back to. Maybe there's some sad memories throughout the year. Maybe there's been heartache and hardship. Maybe there's been a lot of success and joy, and there's been a time of abundance. So have a think about your lives. What's happened over this past year? What's been some big events? Did this year go as you expected? Were the changes or the things that happened, were they what you were expecting? Was there a lot of changes, good or bad? As I think about my year, it contained a bit of both of these things. There was great joys. My little boy Fletcher was born. I started ministry in this church. I got to know a lot of amazing people, and I was able to see firsthand the amazing hand of God in people's lives. But there's also been great challenges with relationships, seeing people that I care about a lot go through emotional, spiritual, and physical hurt. I was humbled over and over again about how little I can actually do in this world, and then constantly facing the reality of my sin. Well, as we look back on our year, what about our relationship with God? Have we grown closer to Him? Or do we feel like we've drifted a bit? You see, it's good to reflect on our lives. We don't do it enough. We're constantly moving forward to the next thing. There's something else that needs to happen. We don't reflect much on our relationship with God. How are we really going? Well, despite the best laid plans that we have, despite all these things that we can have, looking towards the end of the year, looking towards the start of next year, things are going to happen that we don't expect. There are going to be changes. They can be good changes, or they can be really bad changes. And 2020 is going to be similar. As much as we like to have control of our destiny, control of our decisions, and the future, there's so much that is out of our hands. Life is going to change. Good things and bad things are going to happen. Now, change is not always bad. It's not always good. But we need something firm to stand upon, something to rest in, something to take shelter in to help us navigate the changes that we face. And to help us discern the good from the bad, we need something to help us handle the change and to help us face the change well. So what are we going to hang on to? What is our foundation? How are we going to finish this year and then head into the year 2020. Well, I'd like us to seriously consider today's passage and the truth it presents us. There is one thing in this world that will never change, that will not be shifted in the sands of time, that will not be forgotten over the next year or in the centuries to come. Let's read through this passage again. Isaiah 40, verses 6 to 8. A voice says, "Cry out." And I said, "What shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever." In our ever-changing lives, in this ever-changing world, we need to cling on to our never-changing and our eternal God. And we cling to Him by reading, meditating, and loving His Word. because His word has never changed. Its impact and relevance on society has been consistent throughout all generations, and it will continue to be so. His word is what we're to stand on to help us navigate the future. So throughout this sermon, hoping to answer four questions. Why do we desire something eternal and unchanging? What does it mean that God's word is unchanging and eternal? Why is it important for our faith and our life? And how does all this impact our life at the end of this year as we look to the year 2020? So the first question, why do we all desire something eternal and unchanging, especially in this changing world? Well, these days there is abundance of information. I heard some statistics a couple of years ago that teens consume more information in 1 week than the average teen did in the 70s over 6 months because of all the access to the information they have. At the touch of our fingers, or not even that, you just need to speak to your phone, to speak to a device, and an answer can come. You can find out the news, you can bring up facts, you can learn what is happening not only in your suburb but on the other side of the world. Now, with all this information out there, what do we trust? Because it seems to me if you've got a differing argument, if you have a different position, you'll have just as much information on your side. Something to support your cause. So which one is true? And nowadays there's even people who put in enough truth with enough lies to make it seem true. There's misinformation out there. Well, just as our lives continue to change, so does all the information out there. What was sold to us as the best diet 10 years ago is ridiculed. What was a major concern for our society 10 years ago is in the distant past. There's been big changes in our moral standing, big changes in what is ethical, in what is appropriate and acceptable. And generation after generation, they have big issues that they have to face. And the generation after them look back and says, "You actually thought that was true. Why did you think that was a good thing?" You see, we're constantly searching for something to be true. And this constant searching shows that we all have this desire. We desire it because when we find it, it gives us peace. When we find that truth, it gives us assurance. It gives us hope. It helps us make plans for the future. Well, what we see in our short passage this morning is that God's word has not and will not change. It is eternal and unchanging. In the world's changing facts, morals and ethics, and the world's changing lives, God's word remains the same. And when we come to know it and love it, and when we submit ourselves to it, our soul rejoices. And we see this in Psalm 19. Psalm 19 verses 7 to 10. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are much more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. You see, God's word is the firm foundation we need. His word is the anchor that we attach ourselves to, and this is what we desire so much in our lives. This is what we need as we finish up this year and look to the year to come. The never-changing, everlasting word of God. And a very good friend of mine says this, "You've never felt like you've wasted your time when you read God's word." But why is that? Is it because what is eternal in God's word touches on what is eternal of God and what is eternal in us? Is it because our soul can find rest on the unchanging truth in this changing world? Well, I think the response of the psalmist that we just read proves this to be true. So we'll now look to the next question. What does it actually mean for God's word to be unchanging and eternal? Well, firstly, it's consistent with God's character. God himself is these characteristics. He is eternal. He always has been and always will be. He is the great I am, not I was or I will be. He's a great I am. He never changes. He is completely consistent with his character. So it means he's always angry at sin, and yet he is also always loving. He is always holy. He is always almighty. His plans are always the same. He is always all-knowing. He is always all-powerful. He is always just, righteous, merciful, and gracious. He doesn't change. Now, this can be hard for us to grasp, because even in this sermon, as I've been speaking, change has been happening. You've gotten a little bit more tired. You're starting to drift off. You've gotten distracted. You're starting to feel a bit hungry, so you start thinking about lunch plans. Now, because these changes are happening all the time in our lives, we think that's normal. But God never changes. His character never falters, wavers, or changes. And we see this in the following passages. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. And then in Psalm 102, verses 25 to 27. In the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like clothing, you will change them, and they will be discarded. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. See, God is eternal and unchanging. And since this is God's word, it will be like God. It also will be eternal and unchanging. That is his character, and that is his word. And we see that in today's passage, what we just read, but also all throughout scripture, it constantly affirms this. In Psalm 119, verses 89 to 91, your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth and it endures. Your laws endure to this day, for all things serve you. So just have a think about eternal and unchanging and what those words actually mean. Eternal in the sense that they will never go out of fashion. They will never fade. God's words will always outlive our lives. They'll be true now, just as they were true 1,000 years ago. They'll be true now, just as they will be true in 1,000 years to come. God's words are eternal. And they're also unchanging, in the sense that they will never not be true. They will not be altered to suit what is important to the day. They won't become more true or less true in the years to come. Now just compare that to our conversations that we have. Our opinions, our thoughts, what we think is true. We're always changing. Or a truth that we hold on to now might be changing in 10 years to come, unless they're in line with what God's word says. So are we grasping God's word being eternal and true? So we look to the next question. Why is this important for us? Why is it important that God's word is eternal and true? Because not only is this what we long for, but we actually need this to be true, because our salvation and our life rests on this. It rests on God's word being eternal and true. Now, for me personally, I've been in a few situations where I was promised something, and this thing promised to me changed at the last moment. Oh, I can't do that for you. Oh, they didn't end up showing up. I've trusted a person's word and only to be let down by that. Now, if you've experienced similar situations, it does affect your outlook on people. It does affect when people make a promise to you, you're not too sure if they're going to keep it. But as a result of those experiences, I so love and treasure God's unchanging word. I remember reading through Joshua, and they go through this time where the Israelites are taking the land that was promised to them, and it's very specific about all the boundaries, and it's really repetitive. And I was kind of thinking, why the heck is this here? Like, I know God's word is true, it's useful, but why do I have to see the same details over and over again? And then it gets to this verse in Joshua chapter 23, verse 14. And this is God speaking. Now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises of the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. So the reason for all those details was to show that God, when he said he promised them the land, he said that he would give it to them, that he did. That's why there was so many details in there. But that also tells us that God's promises always remain true. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 to 11, it says, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and does not return to it without watering the earth, and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." I said it last week and I'll say it again. God never wastes his breath. God never thinks, oh, there's a spare page in the Bible, I better fill it up with something. God's word always has a purpose. And not only that, his purpose will always be accomplished. And we have the whole of Scripture testifying that this is true, because these verses come in the context of God fulfilling his promises. So when we put our faith in Jesus for our salvation, it is all based on what the Bible tells us is true. That it's true about our sinful selves. It's true that as a result of our sin, we're destined and deserve hell. But it's also true that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, taking the punishment that we deserve, so that when we trust in him, we will be saved. And when we first believed in this as Christians, this is what our soul rejoiced in. Here's an unchanging eternal truth I can rejoice in. Jesus Christ died for me. And we want this to be pretty secure because it has eternal consequences. But thankfully, the one who promises us these things is eternal, is unchanging. And therefore, when we hold on to these promises, we have eternal salvation and security. Now, as we read Scripture over and over, that is the only truth that it's the only truth that accurately describes our human condition and the problems we face in this world. It is the only truth that explains our experiences with each other. It's the only truth that describes how to live well in this world. As much as there's other wisdom out there, really the other wisdom is only true because it touches on what the Bible already speaks about. Just read Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and his leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers." But we also have something to our advantage as we read God's word and as we seek to understand it and live it out, because God has given us his spirit. God's spirit lives within us, and God's spirit acts as our counselor, as our advocate, as our helper to understand and apply God's word. So we can ask God for his help, which is why we do this before we consider his word and apply it to our lives and our situations. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 11 to 12, it says, "For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us." Now, this is important for us to know, because as we read God's word, as we ask for his help, we're not alone. And because we also want to understand how God's word applies to our lives in this day and age now. And so we get to the last question. How does God's eternal and unchanging word impact our life as we look to the end of this year and the start of next year? And actually, in fact, for the rest of our life. This is something too important to just agree with and put to the side. I'm sure many of us got Christmas cards, and our tendency is we get the Christmas cards, we'll read them, think that's nice, and then put them to the side. We can't do that with God's word. It's too important to do this. These things impact our life right now. So firstly, how does it impact our life? Well, it impacts our salvation and hope. And so we've spoken about this a bit already, but it impacts our eternal hope of salvation in Christ. As we go through changes in our lives, good things and bad, as we go through seasons of doubt, as our faith seems so weak, as our trials seem to overwhelm us, as we doubt God's deliverance, we're to look on God's word. We're to remind ourselves that when God promised something would happen, it did happen. The Bible continues to tell us of God's character, of how awesome he is, how powerful he is, and how much he is for those who love him, how much kindness and mercy he shows to those who turn away from their wrongdoing and turn back to him. We can read God's word and see that when he makes a promise, he keeps it. And when we look throughout scripture, again and again, God is faithful to his word. And this is 100% true for our salvation. And so when we get to a passage like 1 Peter verses chapter 1 verses 23 to 25, we see these words. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. God's eternal, unchanging word impacts our lives as Christians, the lives of those who are saved, because God's word will always be relevant for our life. It always provides us wisdom. It provides us insight to the circumstances we face. And we see this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Again, if this is true, then not one word in the Bible is just a gap filler, something taking up space. Each word is inspired by God and written down by the author. And therefore, as we read God's word, all of God's word is useful for us. It has application to how we live our lives. We learn what to do. We learn what not to do. We learn a lot about God's wonderful character and our sinful character. We learn about God's power and our human weakness. We learn of the depravity, the evil, and the horrors of mankind's capabilities, and yet the loving kindness and grace of God. It's useful for our life, and it will always be useful. It will never go out of fashion. And century after century of believers can testify to this. We also see in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 to 13, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Now, since God's word is true, since it is eternal, it will pierce us. It will hurt us. It will sting. And that's because it cuts right to the core. It shows us our mortality. It shows us what we're really like in our sinful nature. It shows us our corrupt ways and our thoughts. It shows us all our errors. And yet, in doing this, though, it provides such freedom and joy from being released from the weights of sin, in having our darkness exposed, especially in the light of God's grace and love. Now, what I so love about God's word is not just the text. It is not disconnected from us and our lives. We're told that the word of God always existed, made all things, and is the light and life of mankind. We're told that this word became a man and lived with us, and that this man is full of grace and truth. See, Jesus Christ is a word of God. Our Lord and Saviour is our greatest assurance and our greatest hope. In all the things of this changing world and circumstances, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He is always the one we can put our trust in for salvation. He will always be able to save us when we trust him. He is always the one we look to for how we should live, to how we should apply God's word to our life, how we should trust God in trials. He is the one we always look to reassure us of God's promises that they are true. And we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 22. But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among us by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us and set his seal of ownership upon us and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. And so we see in these verses that Jesus is our hope and assurance of God's promises being fulfilled. But not only that, God helps us believe and hold on to this truth by his Spirit. So even when we are faithless, God is faithful. Even when we are doubting, God will help us. And when we doubt, when we go through these seasons of change, we need this anchor. We need this anchor in the storm. When we're searching for a foundation to stand upon, we look to Christ. So how do we know God's will and God's promises? How do we stand and face the change in our lives? Well, we're to read God's word. It's no good just talking about it. It's no good just agreeing with this sermon or God's truths that we've seen this morning. It's not enough to sing about God. It's not enough just to hear things about God. It's not enough just to feel these things about what God is like. Not that these things are bad. They're part of our human experience. They're part of enjoying and delighting in God. But all of these things need to surrender and to submit to God's truth, to God's word. So as we finish this year and look to the next year, we're to seek to ground ourselves, to find ourselves, and to live out of God's word. We should make every effort to have time with the Lord in prayer and reading his word. I remember many years ago when I was still laboring, Ian would constantly say this, you need to be reading the Bible, and it would hit me over and over again, because I wasn't. And also I was thinking to myself, this is just a real talk right now, I was like, I don't have time. I wake up at 5, I get home at 5, and then I've got footy training. I also thought, well, Ian, you have to say that because we're kind of paying you to say that. That's what I thought. That's real talk, okay? So I'm not saying that was right, but that's what I thought. And you can feel like that. It's like, well, you're a pastor. Like, it's your job to read the Bible. But I've got to do all these things. I've got these responsibilities. I have kids that wake up at 6 and don't get back down to bed till 7. I've got so many commitments, not just with my family, not just with work, but with these other things. And they're not necessarily bad things. So we've got to think about how are we going to find time. If this is so important for our lives, how are we going to find time? And the temptation can be when you feel that conviction is like, I need to make up for lost time. So you start reading the Bible and you just do massive chunks. And you do that well for 3 days. And then you're like, okay, then life gets busy again. Or you go to Qurong, which is dangerous because you'll buy lots of books about how to read the Bible or different books to encourage you, and then you put them to the side and you never actually open them. Or you read the back of it and that's about it. That's what we can do because we want to do the right thing. It's good intentions, but in our weakness, we just struggle to do it. You see, no one goes to the gym and just starts benching 100 kilos straight out. I tried that. You can't do it. It's not possible. And really, when I think about my efforts to try to make up for it, it's just my pride or a guilty conscience. But here are some things that I've learned and learned from other people as well who are older and much wiser than me. Ask God for a desire and for time to read his word. Set half an hour free each day to read and pray. It doesn't have to be hours and hours and hours. 15 minutes to half an hour. For me recently, I just spoke with Maddie. There's a couple of busy days on the weekend that I really struggled to find time. So I just asked her if she could take the kids for 15 minutes so I could have that time to pray and read the word. So speak to your spouse so you can free up time for each other. As you read God's word, that often you'll find these little intros to the each book of the Bible. And they're really helpful for helping you understand the context and the purpose of the book. Again, it allows you to understand and then apply God's word. As we've spoken about, ask God for help. He's the only author we can go to who will actually help us understand his word. Try to make this time a joy. So do things that you enjoy while you read the Bible. So I love coffee, so I'll make a coffee. And for me, that's okay, this is my time now that I'm going to set aside. Just little things like that. Play some music. Have a snack. Little things like that. So it's a joy when you read God's Word. Don't be legalistic about it, but allow yourselves to be flexible. Each moment in my life when I was single reading God's Word and then engaged and then married, every single one of those, I had a routine, but then they'll change at each step. And then it got changed again. Then we had kids. And it was like, you can't like plan too well with them around. So I just learned, as long as I set aside 15 minutes to half an hour sometime during the day, that's what I've got to do. And think as well, it's a steady diet. It's steady training. It's steady growth. So don't set these really unrealistic expectations. If it's the first time, if it's the only time you actually read and spend time reading, then start off small, start off slow, and build into it. You see, it hit me that this was a priority for Jesus, so it should be a priority for us. So we've got to ask ourselves a question. What do we need to say no to in our lives in order to say yes to time in God's Word? Another thing we can do, another question we could ask, how can we help each other do this? This is so important for our lives, for our faith. How can we help each other make this a priority in 2020? Because we need God's unchanging truth in our ever-changing lives. Can we cling to what will last? Can we hold on to something that will never change? Can we delight in what we really desire? Can we look to the end of this year and the start of 2020 and make this a priority in our lives and encourage each other to do the same? Let's pray. Father, I just pray that through your Spirit, that the truths that we've read from your Word will just really work in our minds and down into our hearts. And I know, Father, the enemy prowls around like a roaring lion and will seek to distract us and move us away from spending time with you. Help us, Father, as husband and wives to work together in this. Help us as brothers and sisters to encourage each other in reading your Word, to setting aside time. How important this is, Father. Thank you so much that you've given us your Spirit that helps us to understand it and apply it in our lives. Thank you that you've given us the wisdom of our people who have gone before us, even in our own church, who love your Word and who can encourage us and guide us in what your Word means. Help us to do this, Father, because you are so worth knowing. You're so worth loving. You're so worth just being humbled before. And Father, it's so great when we realize the depths of our depravity and yet the amazing, overwhelming flood of your grace. And we know this because it's true in your Word. Father, for all of us, help us to be realistic in this. Help us to set realistic goals and to build up the steady diet of reading your Word each day. It's bread for the soul. It's water for that thirst that we have. We thank you for this, Father, and we thank you that you will never change in this. In Jesus' name, amen.